Hey everyone, welcome to our bonus edition of Strange Indeed, dedicated to the Great British Baking Show.
This week we are covering Collection 11, Episode 5, Pastry Week. And oh, what pastries we had.
They did not disappoint this week at all. And notably absent this week, we'll just say our dear friend Wendy is feeling a little under the weather, so she was unable to join this week. We hope you feel better, Wendy. Can't wait to have you back with us for the next episode. So it's up to Greg and I to talk all about pastries.
Oh, man. I feel the weight of the burden to talk about all of these amazing, amazing pastries and less amazing. There were a couple of nightmares on this one.
Oh, there was. It was, you know, we've mentioned it so often in past seasons that we've covered. It's like you just really get to know week by week. You get to know the bakers a little bit more and a little bit more, and they start to feel like your friends. And when you start to see, you know, when they're struggling during the whole episode or during one of the particular challenges, at least for me, get disheartened right along with them. You know, you want to cry with them. But what a interesting episode for sure, because we lost two this week, so we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about it. Let's talk about first the signature. This week the bakers were challenged to make 12 savory picnic pies from a hot water crust pastry. It's been a long day, and these looked really good. There were a few that weren't quite, I thought, something I would particularly love, but I still thought that they turned out aesthetically beautiful. What about you, Greg? Did you have some favorite signatures or one in particular that you wanted to talk about?
So I will very specifically just say I absolutely adore like mince pies or meat pies or whatever. And when you take a bunch of flavor, and I think we got an answer that punchy is good, at least this week.
Yes, thank you. I even have a note because he asked where Paul wants punchy flavor. So I'm like, okay, that's what we just is it good or is it bad?
So he was like, yeah, and it's very punchy, and I was like, okay, this is definitely good. So it like the very, like, you take some meat and garlic and some nice vegetables with a nice flaky pastry, and it's hot, and it's, oh man, like, it's just a couple of them in particular that I thought were really, that looked really, really impressive. I really wanted to try Josh's sausage cheddar with the apple, like the post-match pies.
Yes.
They talked about them not necessarily being the best, but I was like, oh, that I could really, really get down with. The Tasha with the sausage, apple, and cranberry with the mustard on the bottom, like the mustard flavor in contrast to, I mean, sausage and mustard to me just goes together, but and then like with the extra cranberry or pastry, and then Christie's, I mean, she got a handshake for us. I mean, it's obviously it was pretty good.
Yeah.
With the leek, garlic, and mushroom pies. Those were the three, like when she initially started talking about, and then Prue, when Christie initially started talking about, like, describing what she had in them, I was just like, that sounds really, really good. And then it came out amazing. I was just like, oof. But yeah, those were the ones that I was, I guess Maddie's spanakopita was pretty good. I enjoy spanakopita. Mm-hmm. I think it's hard outside of like a Greek restaurant to get like good spanakopita. Like if you go to like a diner, even a diner that is owned by a Greek person, I still think it's maybe a little, I don't know. I haven't had phenomenal experiences there, but yeah, those are the ones that I really was like, oof. Yeah.
I agree. I really was interested in Maddie's because it's, I don't think I've had anything like that, but just the, I know I like those particular flavors and those things. So I feel like, oh, put them in a nice, cute little pie, then yeah, that sounds pretty darn amazing. So I was definitely interested in Maddie's. I really would have loved to have tried Dana's. I think that they did like hers as well. And it's interesting that her signature turned out to be something that they were going to have something very similar and make in the technical. So she had a little bit of a leg up going into the technical anyway. But that sounded very yummy to me. Potato dauphinoise with the caramelized onions and some rosemary. I was like, oh, heck yeah, stick a potato into some pastry. Give me all the carbs, you know, I'll take it. Josh has sounded great. Like you said, the post-match picnic pie. And Tasha and Rowan's, I know that like Rowan's, you know, didn't turn out exactly as he wanted. So I would have really, and I'm sure they still tasted great. I just know that like the bottoms, he got some soggy bottom, which this was the episode for soggy bottom. You know?
Pull it, okay.
Soggy bottom!
They weren't executed perfectly, but they sounded amazing. Like the flavors, like his and Tasha's were both like these sausage inspired bakes, like from their, I think Tasha said hers was inspired by her Christmas stuffing that she makes. And I think Rowan's was also in a similar fashion as well. So I'm like, I'm here for that. Those sounded just amazing.
I thought it was funny that Paul, when Dana was describing what she was making, she's making, oh yeah, potato dauphinoise, a pativier. She's like, a what? And she's like, she's like, how do you spell that? And then he just like walks away. Then later on, you're like, oh, that's why he knew pativier. That's exactly what it was.
Because she's like, what? And he's like, you just kind of look at her like, interesting. And I'm like, it is really interesting as we go into the next challenge, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rowan's sweet potato, like it's not that I don't like sweet potatoes. I just don't think of sweet potatoes as like a savory style. I understand even though the word sweet is in there, it's not actually sweet. But,
right.
I mean, I would take the Dana's over Rowan's any day, just because I love classic white potatoes, or not sweet potatoes, regular potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were a bunch of them. The only one that I personally would not enjoy or choose would be Saku's, specifically my well-documented egg dysfunction. I would not enjoy that quail egg in the middle of the pie.
I would definitely need, I don't mind egg, but I think I would need a warning that it's in there, because I think if I cut it open and just, I'd be like, oh gosh, it would just, I'd be taken aback, I think, because I'm not used to, I don't know if we have a lot of bakes like that here in the U.S. So, you know, it would just be something I wouldn't be used to personally if I was served up something like that. And also, I'm not a big fan of like fish, and hers was a tuna.
Right.
Had tuna in it. And I mean, I'd be willing to try it because I feel like I would love to at least be open to trying something, even if I am not a huge fan of the flavors, to, you know, make a final like decision on it. But
right.
It would not be at the top of, you know, just knowing the flavors that the bakers use, that wouldn't be at my top.
Yeah, the tuna kind of turned me off. I do enjoy some, we'll say, well undercooked tuna, like some seared tuna or but in general, I'm not really a cooked tuna person. Dan's, it was funny that we were talking last week about how Dan kind of like take you to the edge, give me what'll kill me, and then back it off a little bit. and then this week I was like, Saku was like, yeah, I'm not going to make it like I make it at home because, you know, it's maybe a little bit too spicy. And I was like, okay, that's exactly what we're talking about. And Dan's just like, spice, 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 spice. I was like, oh buddy, come on, man.
Yeah. You got to find that balance. Yeah. But he executed them, I think, fairly well. Dan was, you know, doing a little bit better than what he had in previous. So he was, I think, coming back up a little bit. But and then with Christy, with hers, my heart just broke for her when she started to take hers out and they were like filling over. And she said like there was a whole mushroom or something coming out. And she started to cry. I was like, oh, no. I just started to like immediately sympathy tears, you know, crying for. I'm like, no, don't cry. It's just some pies. It's okay.
Especially after last week where you're like, oh, gosh, it's just another heartbreak on top of another heartbreak. But I mean, yeah, it all came well in the end.
It did. It ended up working out for her because and it just made me, I think, cry then in joy for her, because then when she got the praise and got the handshake from Paul, when she had just been, you know, just heartbroken, thinking that they were overfilled and leaking out and that they were messy. And she was saying, you know, feeling like she had like imposter syndrome or something. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you poor thing. I was like, no, please don't get upset. So then to see it turn around for her so quickly there in that first challenge, I love to see that. I felt so good for her in that moment.
For sure. Absolutely.
I don't like to see anyone cry over, I'm like, no, it's okay. It's, you know, it is okay. So yeah, a lot of great picnic pies. And I'm inspired. I want to make one of these. I don't know what I'd pick. I'd have to check the, I try not to go onto the website ahead of time because they will sometimes push the recipes before we have a chance to see the episode here. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to see anything that I shouldn't too early. So I need to go and see, because they will oftentimes publish some of the Star Bakers bakes on the website, so you can get the recipes and stuff. But I'd love to make one of these, because I was like, they sound amazing. I think it's a perfect time of year. For me anyway, to make one of these like savory, not a picnic necessarily, but just having one of these savory pies.
It was picnic weather today. It was like 78 and sunny, but cool in the shade. It was beautiful.
Oh, golly.
I think this is like actually like up here in New England. It was like a latest in the year, highest temperature since like 1914.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it was absolutely stunning day. But I think we're going to have like a 30-degree snap tonight. So,
well, that's kind of what we're starting. Not quite that cold, but yeah, same here. We had a very warm week in the mid to late 70s, which is a little unseasonably warm for this time of year, like week before Halloween. So it would have been good picnic weather this week, but now we're definitely headed down into the cool and the rain today. But, you know, I can enjoy one of these picnic pies inside.
Fact.
Of a picnic on my living room floor with my dog. Okay. Well, let's move on to the technical challenge, which, as we mentioned, Dana had a little bit of a heads up on. There was the challenge was a Dauphinois potato and caramelized onion pativier. I hope I pronounced that right. I'm terrible with pronunciations, but wow, that thing looked yummy.
Oh yes.
What did you think?
the presentation, the sauce that that Prue and the Roquefort blue cheese sauce. I mean, I am a blue cheese fan, but the reaction from like Josh and Maddie, like, look, there's more mold than cheese.
The reactions were so relatable for me, because I do not love blue cheese at all.
you were talking about making the picnic pies. I mean, I was like, I could probably make that, you know, that blue cheese sauce and really, mm-hmm. really enjoy it. That was pretty funny. I thought these looked great. And, you know, Dan, again, returned to form with the technical. And I don't know if he just, like, super piled the potatoes, or if he just, like, baked the pastry really well, or what. But
I think it was a combination of both. I am not a professional baker, but I have seen enough bake. I mean, I've literally watched all episodes of The Baking Show from its inception. So I feel slightly qualified to talk about it. That I've seen enough pastry episodes to know that when they're calling for a puff pastry, it really is key to fold the butter, grated butter, and into those layers. And when I saw Josh and, oh, who else was it?
Maddie.
Yes, Maddie. I was trying to find their, oh, Josh, Nikki, and Maddie. Yep, I did write their names down. They were just putting it into their mix. And I was like, oh, I was like, no, no, no. You have to fold it and layer it to get it, get those layers, because that butter is what helps it puff and
the lamination.
Like that. Yes. And I was like, oh, no, no. I was like, that's not going to be good.
I'll be honest. I was like, they're turning it into a little thing. I don't remember how you turn this, like how you like get it from a folded brick into like actual dough. And then I watched them rolling it out after they froze it for a while. And I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I think maybe I never picked up on that beforehand. Cause like, yeah, you fold it, you fold and turns and you do that. I'm like, but now all you end up with is like folded stuff. I don't understand. Eventually I figured it out, but it was pretty funny.
Well, and they cut so much out too, right? For time. We don't see, every single step of the process. But yeah, that's exactly it, is they have to do that lamination where they're folding the layers of the butter into each layer of the sheets of the dough, and they have to keep it cold. It had to keep going in the fridge because just for pastry in general, pastry doesn't like heat. And then you don't want your butter to melt. You know, you don't want to overwork it and start to melt the butter because it needs to melt in the oven to then get the little poofs. So I think it was both, because there was one of the, I did not, my notes are just not that detailed, but I remember someone had some potatoes left over.
It was Christy.
Okay. Yep. And she's like, oh no, I should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I probably should have. That probably did help give some height. Cause I think the key, especially like with the picnic pies in the, signature challenge, there's that balance of, you know, you want a nice full pastry, but you don't want to overfull so it doesn't like pop out and leak out. But then at the same time, if you don't put enough in, then you've got a big old air pocket and it can really dry out. So there's, you know, definitely the pressure, pressure with that. So there was definitely that balance. And, you know, I was surprised though, that some of the bakers had undercooked potatoes.
That was odd. I mean, I feel like that's a pretty reasonable, like, not reasonable, that's a pretty common thing to cook, and that you wouldn't let non-tender potatoes go into a, now maybe, I don't know, maybe they were just distracted, because they're trying to do several different things at once and trying to do it all in time. But yeah, I thought that was very, very odd that not only you had one, but you had two or three that were undercooked.
Yeah, maybe they were counting on, and I don't remember the exact cook time, because, you know, of course, you don't get that in the recipe. They're just like, cook the pastry.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good
you're
point.
You're kind of like, So maybe, you know, because I know that they did cook it because it had to be nice and saucy and had to, you know, cook the onions as well. But maybe they were counting on also the cook time in the oven, because if you overcook them in the skillet, or as you're cooking them, if you overcook them then, and then you put them in the oven to then also bake in the oven with your pastry, then they would be like mashed potatoes practically. So it's probably a very delicate balance. I'm not saying I'd probably have to make it a couple of times to try to get it right or figure that out, but you know, I was just surprised.
Rowan was the only one who didn't blind bake his pastry.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh man, like I feel like this is one of those things where you would, like, this is again back to the technical aspect of it, that you have to know that when you do this, you have to blind bake. and that, you know, so that you've got the sturdiness and a little bit of space for the juices to go in before you actually go in and cook the rest of your dish.
Yeah, I felt so bad because I don't think that it tells that in the instructions. Again, like you said, it's a technical, it's something that you they're challenging you. Do you know this, right?
Right.
As far as your skills with pastry. And, you know, I was like, oh, you should be blind baking that a little bit. It really helps with the soggy bottoms. It really helps give it a little bit of that structure before, especially when you're making something that has like a sauce, you know, when you're putting moisture into that pastry and you've got these layers just sitting on that bottom, you know, it helps to have that a little bit cooked already. So it bakes, right? And it's not just sitting with all that moisture. So, oh, poor Rowan.
Yeah, he had a rough week.
He did have a rough week. That was just hard. So as far as the technical, it came down to Nikki came in ninth. She also struggled. It was just hard to watch. I've just felt so bad for them. She came in ninth. Josh was in eighth. Maddie was seventh. Tasha was came in third. And Dana was in second because she's already had
she
a practice
was probably
round.
So pissed that Dan won. She was like, motherfucker, I literally just did this. And then, oh, he got great scalloping. Oh, fine.
Yep, got it on the scalloping. Every detail counts. It was a beautiful,
very, very nice
pastry.
Looking.
Yeah, I would love to cut into that and have a big old slice of that, minus the cheese sauce. Or if there was some other appropriate cheese sauce substitute.
Oh, the blue cheese, right.
Yeah, the blue cheese.
Oh, I was jamming on all the savory stuff this week.
That's awesome. Well, the showstopper this week, they had to make some decorative sweet pies. And they had to do at least three pie types using a sweet short crust, my goodness, words are hard today, pastry. And Prue wanted them to, you know, make some varieties of the pie types. And they all had to have a tie-in together, some sort of theme to tie all of the pies together. I thought this was a fun challenge and some really beautiful work from the bakers.
There were some stunning ones. And some were really, really impressive. How about you go first? You're always asking me, Wendy. Oh. you go. What ones impressed you?
Golly, you know, I know that they said it was too sweet, but I liked the idea of Dana's pies. She was inspired by honey baklava, and I'm like, bring it on. I'm all about the sweets. I would take that anytime. And I thought she executed that really, really nicely.
That did look really impressive. And yeah. I'm with you. Baklava is really, really a well done baklava is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I thought Josh's was beautiful.
It was stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Put that thing in a frame.
You could have.
And
you
hang
really
it as
have.
Art. Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. And it was so sweet, too, that he dedicated those to his late Nan, who had passed away. And sounds like he had also learned to bake from her. And so I thought that his beautiful decorative sunflower pies were just absolutely gorgeous. And the flavors just, you know, sounded amazing. I loved Tasha's, her sea or ski. Pies were just so creative and inventive. And she even, I don't know how in the world, my clumsy fingers could never like carve out and make these tiny little hands and then place them just so perfectly in the British Sign Language spelling to for her signs for the sea or ski. I mean, just... wonderfully
I absolutely have to, you know, I'm not bragging at my own ignorance, but I, even though it's called ASL, American Sign Language, I never thought about the fact that you might have British Sign Language, which I was very confused. I was like, BSL? I don't know what... Is that like a cooking term? Oh, no, British Sign Language. Yeah, that, I feel like a real moron at this point. And then when in on the signs, because you had little hands pointing in certain directions, I thought it was almost like, hey, you're pointing this way and I'm pointing this way. And which way? Oh, wait, no, those are actual sign, like sign. I was super impressed, as you said, the detail and the intricacy of the positioning of each particular hand signal or hand sign was so phenomenal. It was, and that was the pecan one. And I love me some pecan pie.
I could eat that all day, and I usually do around Thanksgiving. I'll usually make a pie and then be like, okay, this is for everyone else. This one's for me. I love pecan pie. But those were some of the highlights. There's others too that I'm sure we'll talk about as showstoppers. But what were your some of your favorites?
Josh's was absolutely, as I said, absolutely stunning, and I could not be happier for him. I actually was really hoping for Rowan to succeed. Because yeah. I really enjoy Absolutely Fabulous, and I think that a Absolutely Fabulous themed set of pies would be great. I think that maybe if he had used some of the flavors that Dana had, like the mulled wine, like that would have made a lot of sense. Although he did have, you know, I think one was blueberry, which makes for a good wine, but man, that turned into a train wreck.
It did.
And I didn't really understand what he was doing with the paper things to like lift that. I mean, I understood the concept of what he was doing, but like in that case, don't do that. If you haven't been able to get it out of the tin, like you're coming to a challenge where you have to be able to accomplish this. So don't do the thing that you know that you failed on, that you have to like get little cheat things in order to do it. I think that was his inexperience, or maybe his youth, kind of giving him a little bit of overconfidence in, well, hey, I really can do this. I can figure out a way to make it work. And he did not. Christie's, On the positive side, Christie's autumn pies looked so good. And I thought that her flavors, yeah, the flavors were in general, like all of these. I think you kind of hit the pecan pie, the baklava. It's not that I don't enjoy fruit pies, but it's kind of like, okay, that's a fruit pie. Okay, cool. I haven't had one that's knocked my socks off or anything like that. Which one was it? The rhubarb custard. I just don't know. And that's that custard thing that I feel like texture. Maybe it would be good if it was like well set. I believe that Nikki had one that was like really, really well set, but something else. I think that was her good one, right? The rhubarb custard for her and the rhubarb custard for Maddie were the two that were like pretty decent out of there when their others were less stellar. So the rhubarb custard makes it very, very interesting. Dan's mango papaya pineapple one, the tropical flavors, not something that I see a lot, although they did say that the flavors weren't quite there. So maybe if they had cooked them a little bit longer, but that was one I was interested in as far as the flavoring goes.
I agree. I've not had anything like that before, but I'd certainly be willing to try it anyway. And
are you familiar with Frangipan?
I had to look it up because I kept seeing them, a lot of bakers using that. And I don't know that I've had it. But I looked it up and it says it's a sweet almond flavored custard that is typical in French pastry. So I thought, okay. And it's kind of, it says custard, but I don't think it's like a pudding type texture. I think it's a little bit thicker than that, if that makes sense. And I think it's used to help with kind of that liquidy part of that can come with some like fruity pies, kind of instead of the kind of like poor Rowan had very soupy, you know, interior parts of his pie. I think frangipane can be used to kind of give it a little bit more of a sturdier texture. That makes sense.
Was it Christy that had the frangipane and raspberry?
Yes.
That Paul was like, oh, I've never seen that before. And like that texture in there looked good. It looked almost like either a sweet potato or a pumpkin-y texture where it's not super gooey. It's just good texture. And I think I could deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. She did. She had a raspberry, I think, frangipane. And there were, I think... Rowan had it in one of his pies. It was it chocolate and like a frangipane. One of his pies, he had that as well. So it's a little bit, they call it custard. And when I think of custard, I think of like pudding. But I know that's not in like a European type cuisine versus like what we would maybe have here. And over here, is more of a, like a thicker, you know, not cake-like. I don't want to say cake-like, but just a much sturdier consistency.
Well, if it's almond-based, I would imagine it would be a little bit thicker, a little bit more, as you say, more sturdy structure in the custard, which, again, I wouldn't be averse to trying.
I wouldn't either. I mean, it sounds yummy for sure. But if I've had it, I didn't know that I had it. No one said this is frangipane or that's what's in here. So I might have had it and just not even know. But it sounds amazing. But I do think it helps, like when you're using like a fruity or like a fruit in your pie, because you know they're wet, they're or moist. They could leak and you know make your crust just like fall apart all over the place. So I think that's why it's a popular choice with some of these pies.
The only pie that Rowan was able to get out of his 10 was the frangipane one.
It was so disheartening. I just, you know, and I don't know. I saw him using that technique with, it looked like parchment paper. And I don't know if it's because of the type of, again, there's so much editing. We don't get to see every single step. So I don't know what other bakers were using for their pies, because they actually had to take them out, which I was like, wow, I don't know if I've, I mean, yes, they have to take their bakes out of their you know, cakes out of their pans and things like that to decorate and things like that. But they actually want to see the entire, like they want to see the bottom, they want to see around the sides, and they want to see everything that baker has baked. And so they had to come out of the tin. I don't know if they were using the tins that are like a spring form type where they can just like let the side down and smooth the bottom right off or something. He was using a different type of pan that I'm like, I don't know how, even if it was well baked, how he was going to get it out of there. So I guess that was what he'd intended. If it was baked well, it should just, you know, keep it from sticking.
Right.
As long as it didn't leak, of course. I mean, unfortunately, his leaked really bad, I think, because it was so soupy and it stuck to the bottom that he should have been able to lift it up out of there. Because I've seen him do it with cakes before, lining the like cakes and things with parchment paper. You can just kind of lift right out. I don't know, using a different pan would have helped him though. I mean, it was definitely just, and it was just so unfortunate just because he's like, I practiced this and it did not turn out that way. And so it's so sad because they're like, man, I did this and it worked out fine. But then when you're there in that darn tent, you know, everything just falls apart. And whether it's the pressure. Yeah. So whether it's the pressure of the tent or one thing, you know, you miss a step or you don't do a step in the exact same way. Yeah, the shortened times, and, you know, not having, you know, because even Tasha was like, yeah, I did this and it turned out great, but it took me six hours,
I heard, so I was like, Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, so I mean, I feel like, yeah, maybe if he'd had the time, maybe that would have turned out, you know, beautifully. Because, I mean, his flavors sounded great.
Right.
You know, I mean, I was definitely, like, into his flavors. So I don't think it was the flavors, you know, that set him back. It was just, you know, yeah, it was just did not work out for him. But you know what? I was so upset, though, of the comments that he got. Rowan is so hard on himself. Like, it was always hard to hear him talk about his lack of confidence and, you know, like, he just didn't, like, yep, this is not going to turn out well. I mean, he already knew that his showstopper was a mess. You know, he knew that he was definitely not going to get Star Baker. I don't know if he knew he was going to be the one, you know, one to leave or not, but he knew. Right, that he was already like, oh, this is not good. But he went up and he presented it anyway, and he still had like tried to maintain a good attitude, at least out on the outset of it. And I just thought, man, those were really harsh comments. Maybe they were true, but I was like, he was just already so down on himself that how about you talk about what you do like or what was executed well and just say, you know what, this just does not work. It did not come together, but here's what we do like, or, you know, whatever. I felt it was really unnecessary, just in my opinion.
I mean, I get what you're saying. And again, we don't see all of the comments. We don't see all of the compliments, but I think it really just goes to show how bad it was.
Yeah,
like I've heard on other, I think it was on one of the Top Chefs, where somebody said something to the effect of, "You're on a competition. How do you think you could present this?" And there was nothing like that. It was all very technical. This is what the issue was. This was not very good. The fact that Paul had to say, if you want to take a positive out of it, the flavor is really good, but here's this long list of things that went wrong. Mm-hmm. So like, I think it's just a sign of how poorly executed it was. Which sucks. I mean, yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah. Like, he knew, and he smiled in the face of the criticisms because he knew. Same thing that Nikki did. You know, it's crazy because, you know, Rowan absolutely looks like he, or felt like he felt blindsided by the fact that he was leaving. I mean, I called Nikki and Rowan at the end of the Showstoppers. I was like, these are the ones that I would cut based on what we've seen. And when they announced it, I was like, okay, yeah. And Nikki was like, yeah, okay. And Rowan was like, ah, oh, absolutely gutted. I'm like, really? maybe that's, again, I personally felt he was on a borrowed time, you know, since Abby, but, that's, again, maybe that's a little bit less, maybe I have a little bit less empathy for him because of that, but I, not that I have less empathy for him, but just that, that I was less shocked that he was on his way out.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I had a feeling he was, because he definitely struggled, you know, the entire episode, for sure. And so did Nikki, you know, and it was a bummer because she did so well with Chocolate Week, you know, had a really, really great week and all. But
right.
They were the two consistently throughout each challenge this week. And so it was like, there wasn't really a whole lot left there to save them, you know. But yeah, I mean, I wasn't surprised, but I was just like, oh, like, yeah, it wasn't good. There's definitely no getting around, you know, Rowan's end result with his pies. But I was just like, you could just say, this isn't good, Rowan. Like, this is, it's soupy. Your consistency is, it's not good. And, you know, but the flavors are really good. it's not as presented as nicely. I don't know. Again, this is why I could not be a judge on anything like that. Well, obviously, for this show, definitely not qualified. Like, what the hell do I like? I had to look up Frangipane. So, I mean, clearly not qualified to be a judge on that show. But I just don't think I could do it because I'm like, I just don't think I could, you know. It probably could have been worse, you know, sure. I mean, you know, there could probably be some chefs out there that could be way harsher with their words than what Prue and Paul were, but I was just like, oh man, he knows it sucks, right? Like, he knows. You don't have to just, I don't know. Poor Rowan. I mean,
most people are most hard on themselves, and they know when their product is not, especially artists. Like, even something that is well acclaimed, someone may be like, oh, well, I could have done this or I could have done that. Except for narcissists. Those people really,
right.
Like, don't get me wrong. They come up with some amazing art, but you know, then sometimes they take criticism very poorly. But one thing I did want to add was that I think that Saku, hers were her pie chart where they're like pointing to each other. Like, I thought that was really, really well done. And I think she saved herself.
I think so too.
Because she would have been down, I think it mentioned that she was like in trouble. And I think it was just to add people besides Rowan and Nikki. They had Saku and Josh, and then Josh just kicked it out of the park. Maybe that's not the hit it out of the park. And Saku really made hers pretty. She had one that was, the fruit was raw, but then the presentation and the other two pies were really, really good.
Yeah. Hers was really interesting too. She is very creative. I love seeing what she puts together, in her showstoppers. She's definitely, pulls it together at times when she needs to. And she did need that. She needed a good, you know, even if it wasn't the best of the best, she needed a good positive to save her. Not ready for like Saku to go home. I'm really, really pulling for her. She's definitely a favorite.
Yeah. She, it's funny because she talks about her stuff being a little bit rough, a little bit simple, but those were beautifully decorated.
I mean, they were
absolutely beautiful. They also were really like neat as a pin. Right. Mm-hmm. It was like very detailed and very precise. And I thought it was actually more, I'll say more like individually pretty than Josh's. Like, Josh's were as a whole absolutely beautiful, but I think that Saku's was just more precise on the specific details.
I would agree with that. I thought hers were really, really pretty. Yep. Just to see how they can take these little pieces of dough, roll them up, and just make these beautifully little decorative, you know, things on top of these pies. I'm just like, oh my gosh, you know, like we were talking about Tasha's little hands, you know, that she, and I'm just like, ugh. And then, you know, dyeing the pastry to get certain colors and things. And I'm just like, oh, I would have just never thought to do something like that. I've never seen anything like that. So it was a treat to get to see some of these bakes with these really beautiful, intricate little details and what you can do with some friggin' pastry, you know? Yeah,
when I saw Josh's initially, I was like, oh, he like colored it once it was baked. But no, that was the lattice work. That was in the dough initially, which makes it all the more impressive, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Some beautiful, beautiful work. And I bet so many of them just tasted amazing. I'm glad I had eaten before watching it, because I love pastry. I will normally, with just, getting a piece of pie, I'm always eating all the pastry before I will eat the filling, at least depending on what pie it is, like apple pie. I'm not a huge apple pie person, but I will eat the hell out. Like, I'll just eat the crust. That's, love that pastry. Thinking about Amelie's apple pie from last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Those apple pies. Oh, my gosh, that she made.
I missed out on the blueberry cobbler or whatever it was in the morning. I took a nap.
It was gone.
Yeah. I was like scraping the bottom trying to eat some.
I was like, man, everybody just tackled that. It was gone. Yeah, some amazing, amazing bakes from our dear friends over the weekend. They did great. Anything else that you have to say about either the signature technical or showstopper this week?
I think I've covered all my notes. I think I'm good.
Okay. Any funny lines or anything in between outside of the bakes that you want to talk about? Any interactions?
I think I kind of hit most of them. I will say that Nikki and all of her dearie me's, she will be sorely missed.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
she was a ray of sunshine. Not that everybody else isn't great, but, as the lone Scott accent, it's nice to hear that.
I loved her accent so much. And so yeah, if we didn't already say it, everyone's watched the episode. So Nikki and Rowan had to go home, unfortunately. And Christy won Star Baker.
As you said, like tears of joy for me as well. I was like happy for her when she got that.
Yeah, it was well deserved. She was the consistent one throughout the episode for sure. But really hard to see some of our bakers go home. This is when it starts to get, because again, we get to see them every week. So you feel like you get to know them a little bit more and more. You feel like you know them. You feel like they're your friends, and then just get heartbroken to see them go home. So it was sad, even though they'd had their struggles. But Rowan, you know, I loved his sarcasm, you know, and his funny little lines and how he was, you know, just, I was like, oh, that's funny. And then, yeah, with Nikki's just constant optimism. Like, she was always just had such a great attitude. Like, she was it the signature that she didn't, you know, do so well on, didn't get a great response of, but then she's like, well, you know, you just pick yourself up and, you know, what am I gonna do, you know?
Yeah.
And she was just gonna carry on and just always cheerful. So I'll definitely miss that from both of them. I thought there was a really funny interaction, which, you know, we've talked about Allison a couple of times and how I feel like she's a really great addition to the show. I really, really love the banter between her and Noel. There is a part, or I think it was while the signature was going on, when they were talking about how they text each other.
Oh, yeah.
Now, whether or not it's true, I don't know. I mean, it could just be fun that they're having for the show, but saying that they were like texting each other like 11 o'clock at night or something, and she starts to walk away and she's like, stop sending me those pictures. I don't like that. And he laughed and he's like, it's not what you said last night.
You know? Well, and then you say that, and it reminds me of the WhatsApp discussion with Paul and Prue. Oh, we have a WhatsApp without you, Allison. You haven't earned your way in yet. that was pretty good.
That's really good. I think they've got great banter. I just,
yeah,
it feels really natural good. And, you know, it, I like it. So that, but that one did make me cackle. I was like, that was funny. That was really funny. All right. Well, I think that's a good place to wrap it up. If you don't have any other notes or anything else, to call out for this episode.
I will say that I think, and maybe it's just because she had a little bit of a leg up. I think Dana is kind of emerging as a,
you got some predictions?
No, not necessarily predictions. I think standout, one to watch out for. I just realized that we only have 5 weeks left.
Yeah, we've only got up in the halfway. Yeah,
I mean, we're at five. We're down to seven bakers, and we only have 4 weeks left before we're down to three, and then the finale. So, like it's we're getting into to hardcore, and where you really kind of go out on a limb to impress. Dan, rein it in, man. Rein it in. Just rein it in.
Yeah. Dana is one to watch for. She has, I love her confidence. Mm-hmm. I think she's delightful. I think she's witty and funny, and I love her confidence, and I think she's really grown. She just, she almost makes it look so easy, and she's just so laid back. Like, she doesn't, she might be stressed, but I don't think she shows it very well. Like, she's just like, oh, yep, I'm just baking here. You know, she just seems to have this quiet, cool confidence about her, and she doesn't get too worked up. Now, she could be, maybe I'm just only seeing what they're presenting us, and maybe on the inside she is like super stressed, but she definitely plays it off very like laid back and chill about her bakes. So she's one to watch for.
I will go ahead and just absolutely bonkers that Dan had to completely remake, because he grated his knuckle into the batter, and he had to completely remake his pastry for the technical, and still got first. Just bonkers.
Yeah, nuts. Yeah, that would stress me out if I've got to go and redo my pastry. Everybody's already like a step ahead of you, and now you're having to go backwards. Yeah, that was yummy. Now I really want to try and make one of those.
At least caramelize some onions and make some potatoes.
Yeah, it just looks so good. All right. Well, we did get some feedback this week, which I'm super excited for. I love hearing from everyone, and everyone getting all excited about the you know, these challenges as much as what we do. One of the first ones that we have is from our friend Karen Shee, and she says, "I love all kinds pastries, and the Petivier looked mouthwatering. Who doesn't love flaky crust? I was worried for Christy last week, and I was cheering when she got Star Baker. She made me tear up with what she said about being a mom and putting her dreams on hold." Oh, I know. That was sweet.
That's true.
Yeah. She goes on, "I thought Paul was going to give Josh another handshake for his showstopper. Glad he pulled it off to honor his Nan. Sad to see Rowan and Nikki leave, but they just didn't do well. I will miss all her Nikki-isms like bag of pants."
You have to go home after a bag of pants.
I've never heard that. She's just delightful. We also got a voicemail this week from our friend Steve. Let's see what he thought about Pastry Week.
"Hello, Strange Indeed. This is Steve, and I was just watching Pastry Week for Great British Baking Off show, and we got a soggy bottom and a handshake.
Okay.
I was just thinking to myself, we had soggy bottom. Now we get soggy bottom and a handshake in the same scene. Oh, this technical has caramelization in it. Didn't they have a problem with caramelization like a week or two ago? Noel and Allison singing halfway through this nightmare. Hilarious. Okay, so the signature and the technical were both savory, so the showstopper is a sweet. I like savory pies better, I think. Wow, these are some very intricate showstoppers we've got going on here. I can't wait to see how they all turn out and who wins. Ooh, I think Rowan might be in trouble with this. Is that paper under his pie now? Oh, Chrissy did really well on this showstopper. Oh, Paul's reaction to Dana's sour pie when it's the hands in the air, and you can just see that was not a good reaction from Paul. Oh, Josh got a great reaction. Oh, here's Rowan's. What are they going to say? Yeah, Rowan might be in trouble. Oh, yay for Christy. Finally getting Star Baker. Bag of pants? I've never heard that expression. That must be something very British. All right, hopefully I get this in time."
I forgot to mention that reaction to Dana's sour. I think I'd like it, though. I love sour stuff.
Yeah, it's you're right here. Right there.
Yeah. Oh, that was great. Thank you, Steve. All right. So next week, we're going to be covering episode 6, Botanical Week.
I wonder who would have done really, really well at Botanical Week. Maybe someone who forages. I don't know.
I had the exact same thought. I was like, oh my gosh. Abby immediately came to mind.
I will hold a candle for Abby forever.
Yeah. Pour one out for Abby. I was like, oh, gone too soon. I think she would have excelled. And I don't even know. I mean, it could be something completely different, but I was just like, I don't know. It feels, yeah, something that she would probably excel at, but we'll see that whenever we get to next week's episode. yeah, they start getting into, like, they do a lot of the traditional bakes, you know, bread week, pastry week, chocolate, and then they start, okay, now let's throw something a little different, because
yep.
Like you mentioned, we're getting to the second half. We're getting, you know, fewer bakers that are left. It's going to start getting a lot harder. I mean, if they thought it was tough now, you know, it starts to get a lot more difficult, and they really start to expect a lot more perfection from the bakers. They're not going to get by with a whole lot, unfortunately.
I think like you mentioned, I think we talked about it a few weeks ago, but I think that pastry week is the final set week. And now, you know, I think Wendy mentioned caramel week and then patisserie mm-hmm. week. And yeah, so I'm looking forward. I don't know what the next few are. I imagine they are posted somewhere, but I'm pleasantly being surprised. But botanical week makes me, I mean, although baking, I guess you wouldn't make a bunch of salads for baking. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. They always kind of surprise me when they throw out something a little different like that. I'm like, I'm not sure what to expect. Like, right. How are they going to incorporate something botanical with baking?
Yeah.
But they always do, and it turns out fascinating. So until next week, you know, we will return for Botanical Week. Can't wait to see what kind of bakes we get for that and who will come out a star baker. It's so interesting because we haven't really had any consistency with it. Like, some of these bakers have just been kind of all over the place. Some of the folks that have one star baker have been pretty low other weeks, and then yep. others that have been kind of middle range and kind of low have risen up and come a long way. So it's interesting to see where we're going to be next week as we see with our final bakers. Cannot wait. So if you would like to contact us and leave some feedback for any of the weeks, like if you just started watching Great British Baking Show, if you're just catching up and you want to leave feedback for any of the episodes, feel free. We will always read it no matter what. If you want to let us know what you think, you can find all of our information, contact information at podcastica.com. I do try, when I remember to do it, put up a feedback post in the Podcastica group, but you can find all of our contact information at podcastica.com. Currently, Paik and I are also covering The Fall of the House of Usher. That's on Netflix right now. I just am in love with that show so much. I'm just dazzled by Mike Flanagan. He has definitely got me under his spell. So would love to have everyone check that out. And there's a lot of great things going on in Podcastica right now, right? Right, Greg?
Oh, yeah. I'm just going to just rattle them off, right? Buffyverse, Lokiverse. Well, that's kind of funny. They're both verse. we're doing the rewatch of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And then
I just started.
And then revisiting Ted Lasso, which is this, you know, definitely made me, this episode made me think of Ted Lasso, which was kind of funny.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff going on, and I'm really digging it.
There's just always so much activity going on. You mentioned some great ones. Also, Jason, Jenny, and Randy are covering season 2 of White Lotus right now. So if you enjoyed White Lotus, I know we're just catching up on that because, everyone gets so busy. We didn't get a chance. No one got a chance to cover it the first time around, but they'll be ready to go once season 3, once we finally get season 3. I know we're going to be waiting on a lot of shows. Check out White Lotus. I know Daryl Dixon just wrapped up. And then Paik and Daphne are covering their look back special right now for their latest season, so be sure to check them out as well.
Yeah, I'm not saying I fell off of. I just haven't been able to finish season 2 of White Lotus yet. So I was with them up until episode 2 or 3 of season 2, but I just haven't been able to keep up.
Yeah, well, you know, got a lot going on. So yeah. I'm behind on so many things. We won't even get into it. So I totally get it. But yeah, you should keep watching. It's definitely worthwhile. I thought season two was just amazing. I think I liked it a little more than what I liked season one. So definitely worth continuing on if you get a chance to get caught up. All right. Well, thanks, Greg, for this week, for being here with me. And hopefully with Wendy feeling better, the trio will be back for the next week.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
On your marks.
Get set.
Bake.
For little cake.
Sucky bomb. For little cake. Sucky bomb. For little cake. Sucky bomb. For little cake.